ESPN 102.5 The Game, Braden Gall, Corey Curtis here on a Wednesday. Stay safe out there, Nashville. Drive slowly. Drive slowly and stay warm. Darren Gant joining us here from Pro Football Talk, talking all things NFL here. And obviously, as we're getting to know all these coaching candidates from around the league, I wanted to talk with Darren here about a couple of different guys. And first and foremost, Darren, welcome to the show. How are you, sir?
I'm doing well. We're trying to survive our own snowpocalypse here in Charlotte. So pray for Charlotte.
No, well, you guys get whatever we have like 10 or 12 hours later, right? So we're at about 5 degrees right now. So be ready for that.
Awesome. Can't wait.
So you're in Charlotte, and that's part of why we wanted to talk to you is about Steve Wilks, who's going to be interviewing with the Tennessee Titans among a number of other candidates. Just sort of break down who he is, what he is, and what he brings to the table as a defensive coordinator.
Well, I think Steve is still very young in his progression as a coach, but all the signs are there. I mean, this guy is going to be a head coach in the NFL at some point. I think it's just a matter of the timing. In many ways, he's a lot like Ron Rivera. And Ron was a guy who had to wait, you know, probably too long for his term, as a head coach based on what he's done once he's gotten that job. And, you know, a lot of it's just timing and situation. But Steve is just one of those guys. He's got that natural leadership about him. He exudes, you know, Army general. He exudes CEO. You know, all that stuff you want your head coach to be. Steve Wilks has it. He just has a natural bearing. I think he's still, you know, kind of learning on the job and getting his legs underneath him as a coordinator. This was his first year doing it. And he was following a guy in Sean McDermott who had done it at a pretty high level. And Steve took a defense that was different in construction and played it differently. You know, they were a lot more of a blitz-heavy defense this year than they had been in the past under Sean. And traditionally, Ron Rivera and defensive guys like him would have preferred to have just gotten all their pass rush from their front four. But personnel-wise, they weren't built that way. So Steve shuffled the deck a little bit and you know, Carolina was a playoff team because of it. They played really well this year, and I think, you know, he had a lot to do with that. Again, he's young. He's, you know, first year as a coordinator, and this is his first round through the interview cycle, so I don't know. I know Rivera was resigned, and in talking to people around the building, they're sort of making contingency plans on what to do without him. They might trip and fall into keeping him if he doesn't end up in Arizona or Tennessee because everything else is dried up around him.
Well, that was what I was going to ask about was Arizona. They're reportedly getting ready for round two of interviews.
Right.
Supposedly Mike Munchak is going to get a second interview. Have you heard, is Steve Wilks on that interview list? And Braden talked about it some. What are his attachments offensively? Because that's going to be very important in what gets sold here in Nashville.
Well, he's an Andy Reid tree guy, so the name that's come up is John DeFilippo, you know, who's going to be a candidate in his own right. But there's been some talk of a link between those two guys. And I think, you know, since a quarter of the league's Andy Reid guys, it seems, that's a pretty good place to start. I think he's going to – one of the things young coaches, and especially young coaches, I think it's going to be a struggle for both Arizona and Tennessee – is getting staffs lined up because that's so important. And if you bring in a first-time guy, I think it's going to be a little tricky because, you know, a lot of those chairs are already filled around the league. And, you know, even though you've got teams making a mockery of this rule of you can't deal with coaches still in the playoffs, you know, three jobs are basically filled with guys that we know so far. So I think being last in that order is going to make it a little tougher. And those jobs are typically – you know, a little bit transient. I mean, when you get guys in, they usually have an initial staff, and it's a couple years till they can get the guys they really want sometimes. And that puts first-time coaches in a tough position, especially if they come at it a little late.
Darren Gant joining us here from Pro Football Talk. How do you view the Tennessee Titans roster and the situation and the job as a whole? We know stable ownership and certainly a powerful GM at this point, but – I think there seems to be some divided opinion on how good a roster this really is. Where do you fall on that?
I think it's pretty good. I don't think it's great. For a couple of years, the AFC South has always been a little bit of a, you know, a little bit of a landfill, and whoever had a healthy quarterback was the one winning the division. So it's tricky, but I do think John Robinson's done a good job raising the overall level. I wouldn't you know, go so far as to say it's one of the, you know, top five rosters in the NFL, but it's definitely, you know, top half, top third of the league. I think they've got a lot of good young parts, and they've built that thing in a way that lends itself to stability. I mean, they play good defense. They've got good young parts on the offensive line that you can build around, and those things don't go away as quickly as aren't necessarily as temporal as building it around skill position guys sometimes. I think they've got some work to do, but Robinson's clearly done a good job since he's been there, and I do think if all things were equal, it would be an attractive job because it's a place where, you know, you've seen Jacksonville come up. You can envision winning there. You can envision having success. I mean, Marcus Mariota is clearly a guy with a lot of talent that, you know, the right coach is going to be really intrigued with, and that's going to be part of his sales pitch is what I'm going to do with Marcus. So, you know, I think it's an attractive job. You know, having lived in Charlotte all my life and know how those kind of impressions gather, people are going to undersell it because it's not a big market, because it doesn't get a lot of attention. But I think, you know, within the football community, it's certainly viewed as a good roster and a good collection of talent, a good place to start.
Now, another important aspect of this job is fit. We've gotten to know Amy Adams-Strunk and John Robinson over the last 2 years, and there's a certain style and personality that's going to work with those guys. You know, Jim Harbaugh, and Braden and I both believe, you know, Josh McDaniels, not necessarily a personality match for those guys. What's the personality of a Steve Wilks and how he would work with a GM or an owner?
Well, and again, I will point you back to Ron Rivera. I mean, Ron is not a big personality guy. He's not jumping around, storming all over the place, making a bunch of demands on the field or internally. And I think Steve's kind of learned a lot of that management style from him. It's also, I would be remiss not to point out that Steve Wilks, like myself, comes from the greatest football factory in the American college system, Appalachian State University. You know, we crank out leaders at ASU. I like to tease my friends from Arizona State as being from the other ASU, but Steve came up the right way. He's an impressive guy. I mean, I think Ron's style has been so low key, and part of that is, you know, the lessons he's learned from Andy Reid. He's got, you know, he understands the value of getting along with your front office, you know, everybody being on the same page, that kind of thing. And I think it's easier to, you know, it's easier to find guys like that when you're looking among first-time head coaches, because you mentioned Harbaugh. I mean, that guy's set in his ways. He's going to be able to come in because he's got background, and he's going to be able to say, hey, I've got to have X, Y, Z, you know, and be able to make demands. And not everybody's going to want to go that route. But Steve's I think Steve has learned because of the way they built the department in Carolina, whether it was Marty Herney, Dave Gettleman, Marty Herney again, those guys have always had a pretty tight bond with coaches. And so from that standpoint, I wouldn't imagine it being any problem, him coming in and working with John Robinson. I do. I just think, you know, this sounds like a little bit of a sales pitch, but Steve is a super impressive guy. And he's just one of those guys, when you walk in a room with him, you can look at him and say, that guy's a leader. Whether he gets a head coaching job or not, he's a leader, and I think he's going to be successful at some point in the NFL, whether it's his hiring cycle or not.
Darren, real quickly, is the Final Four this year in the NFL with these three defensive teams and sort of unknowns at quarterback versus the known superstar GOAT at quarterback, is this a one-off year that just sort of worked out this way, or is it a trend you expect to continue in the future?
Well, yeah, we're done with quarterbacks. They're not a big deal anymore. I don't think anybody's going to spend any draft currency trying to get them. They're certainly not going to be a land rush for guys who may not be ready to play. Yeah, of course, people are still going to be, you know, standing on the gas in that market, and you'll see people lose their minds in April with the draft. But I do think it speaks to, you know, and it sounds kind of dumb, but the one of the things I've learned in the NFL, having covered it for 20-plus years, it's more than one way to skin a cat. And you, if you don't have a quarterback, you can't try to play the way you would if you've got a Tom Brady. So let's do other stuff. And I think, you know, Mike Mularkey was smart to play it the way he did. I mean, when Marcus was young and you weren't sure exactly what you had, you didn't know how much pressure you you know, could put on him in those situations. Hey, let's play defense. Let's run the ball. Let's be basic. Let's spend draft currency on linemen. And I think that's why Tennessee is a pretty good job for somebody to walk into, because they do have that stable base. And, you know, obviously Marcus has got talent, and the Titans aren't going to be in that market. But I do think, you know, people are going to continue to overspend and overthink that quarterback situation. But it's possible in the NFL to do business a different way. And that's one of the cool things about it. I love watching the Jaguars this year because it's practically quarterback-less football. You know, let's win without one, 21-22, and let's get it on. And it's fun. It's old school, and I like it.
I watched the Chicago Bears my whole life. That's not fun.
Darren.
Well, it depends. I mean, if you've got the great defense and running game, it can be – you can build a personality around that. And, you know, it's – I know a lot of coaches take a lot of pride in games they won. And John Fox was here for 9 years and was up in Chicago recently. If I had a dollar for every time John Fox said, "I've won a lot of games with quarterbacks no better than Jake DeLome." You know, I mean, coaches get into that kind of stuff because it allows them to be coachy.
Darren Gant, Pro Football Talk, always a pleasure, man. Thank you for giving us some insight. We really do appreciate it.
You got it, fellas.
Absolutely. Darren Gant there. A lot of insight into who Steve Wilks is. Sounds a lot like Mike Vrabel, and both these guys.
And Mike Tomlin.
Big-time leaders when it comes to sort of commanding a room and being a presence. So there's one thing I do want to address about that. We'll obviously have a big game with the Preds last night as well, but I do want to address one final point about the defensive side of the ball and those options for the Tennessee Titans before we get back into the Preds. Also, Rick Byrd going to join us coming up top of the hour, so we got a lot of stuff to do here on the morning show. ESPN 102.5 The Game.